Now that I've said that, inside of a timeline, there's big time transformation. There is no transformation outside of the timeline. There is, I am the one, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the, you know, all of those things. There is that I am. Okay. There is no I was or I'm going to be. There's I am. And that is the eternal side of it. So when God created time, he created time and then he placed Adam in the garden, but Adam was not subject to time. He was not subject to time. He was not subject to space, and he was not subject to matter. All three of those things are in perfect continuum. When God created the material universe, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. So time, space, and matter are actually in the very first verse of the Bible. And that's the thing that God created. So everything that you can imagine that has ever been created falls into the realm of time, space, and matter. Okay? So he created all that. But he placed Adam in the garden. And he said, in the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Okay. So not only was the Lord telling him he was going to die, but he was calling him surely. I'm sorry. I digress. So he says, you shall surely die. So what happened? Adam sinned. Did he die that day? Yes, he died 930 years later. A day is to the Lord as 1,000 years. So the clock began for him as soon as he sinned.
Right.
Why? So that God Almighty could say, okay, I'm going to change the state that you're in. Okay. He fell into time so that God could work redemption in him. And then Genesis 3 shows up and he gives the very first promise of the Messiah. Time is created for the purposes of redemption. And when you enter in redemption, it changes everything within it.
So is there not a definitive, even a big picture explanation? Correct me if I'm wrong in my thinking process of this, but I ask a lot of people, when was Christ crucified? A lot of them go AD 30. But then I go, wait a minute, he was crucified before the foundations of the earth. So there is the perception, if you go back to the train, it is where you're at in the moment of time that changes the perception. Before the foundations of the earth, Jesus is slain, but there had to be a physical moment in which he came, and that is established. So that establishes the redemptive side of it. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
It's true. Okay, so it's one thing for God to do things. It's another thing for it to be manifest within the timeline. Okay, so God did the thing before the foundations of the world. And by the way, when it says before the foundations of the world, it literally means that God, that this thing that God has done has preeminence over everything that follows.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just a reference to time as in before. It's a reference to before as in status. It's before everything else. Okay,
yeah.
It's the one, it's the head. It's the beginning, okay? Everything else is subject to it. But that is the key, is that you want to get redemption made manifest within your timeline. That was carried out at around 33 AD, and it was carried out then, and it was made manifest in the earth, and the promises of God were made manifest in the earth. But know this, eternally, no. It was already a done deal, but it had to play out. And Jesus was the only one that could play it out. Nobody else could actually deliver it into the timeline. And nobody else was capable and nobody else was willing except for Jesus himself. He literally became the fish in the aquarium. He became a human being that was subject to time and to space and to matter. And he demonstrated his authority over time, space, and matter, not because he was a superhuman. He wasn't God pretending to be a man. He was literally a man. But he demonstrated his authority over imperfect relationship to the Father as a man. And he walked that out for you and I and go, look, this stuff doesn't have to get you. You can, you know what? You can literally turn water into wine. What is that? It's dominance over matter. You can literally disappear from their midst and end up in another place. What is that? It's dominance over space. You can literally change time from BC to AD to actually before you were saved to after you were saved. Or in John's case, he shows up to Brother John and says, hey, Brother John, here you are. 4,000 years after the fall of Abraham, I'm going to pick you up, Revelation chapter 4, voice in heaven, show you heaven. Then I'm going to put you back down on the earth 2,000 years later at at the rapture of the church, the great tribulation, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pull you up out of that, take you 1,000 years later after that, drop you down into the great white throne judgment, show you the end of all created things and the beginning of the new creation, pull you back up, take you back, drop you back down 3,000 years before that, and then say, write that down, boy. He's not subject to time in any way whatsoever.
I love that because it makes my wheels turn in the sense of before I was born again, if I don't honor my parents, I shorten the days of my life. But after I receive Christ and I begin to honor my parents, I extend my life, the days of my life, because that's clear in the scripture in that. So there is a redemptive side, not only into my own life walk of Christ, but following the principles of that. So I'm thinking right now that someone listening or watching this online as well, you know, they're sitting here going, okay, all this, it sort of makes sense, but it makes my head spin. I'm just a quote unquote average Christian. What are you trying to say? How does redeeming my timeline for someone that gets up, punches the clock, goes home, raise the family, you know, they don't travel the world. They don't do extravagant things in ministry. How does that apply in their life?
You do not have to be fearful of your future, and you do not have to be shackled to the harm of your past. And just because the past is 30 years to you, it's right now to God if you invite him into that place. If you can invite him into your now, you can also invite him into your future, or you can invite him into your past, because him stepping into time and being made manifest is no big deal to him. You can't go back, but he can. And if I have a toxic place or something that is unredeemed from my past, something that happened in my childhood, something, I don't know, something very, very, very traumatic, and it's affected every single day of my life, and it owns me to this day, this is what I can do. I can literally invite King Jesus to be made manifest in my history, and it will change my history from something that is a curse to something that is a blessing, and those chains will fall off of me instantly, because it can't reach into from my past into my future, because now the throne of Jesus is there. And if the throne of Jesus is there, a river of life flows out of that, not a toxic, poisonous death. I want to read to you a scripture, and I want to encourage everybody to read Psalms 139, because it really and truly is all about how God interacts with time. Psalms 139 is all about that. I'm going to get a little bit crazy, and I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, and I'm going to read specifically verse 6. Verse 6 of Psalms 139 in the Passion Translation puts it this way: "You have gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past." So powerful. So I think it's easier for us to imagine we can invite him into our present, because we don't understand that time is all the same to God. The next leap from that is to invite God into our future. Like, what are you talking about? Don't wait until you're dying to ask God to be with you in the last few minutes of your life. Ask him right now and then meet him there. How in the world can you be afraid of the last few minutes of your life if you know Jesus is going to meet you there? Same thing. You know, I do the same thing, bro, with every time I get up and preach. Like, I did a whole bunch of live Daystar stuff. Live on 200 nations yesterday, all throughout the world, live. And spotlights on, they turn the lights on, they just go. And instead of me going, I had already prayed and said, "Lord, will you please meet me there in that place?" And that's my confidence, is in the manifest presence of Jesus. It's not in my ability. It's in the presence of God within my life. Christ in me is the hope of glory, right? Christ in you is the hope of glory. So I ask the Lord to meet me in the future all the time. And then when I finally meet up in that place, he's already there. And you know when he came to that place? When I asked him to be there in my past. A good example of that is at the end of the book of John, Jesus is walking with Peter on the Sea of Galilee, and he says, "I've seen your death day, and I've seen how it glorifies me. You're not going to bail." And I'm sure that was really important to Brother Peter, because you know he was always bailing, and he would choke a lot of times. And he told him, "You know what? When you were young, you did whatever you wanted to do, and you dressed or you prepared yourself however you wanted to. But when you were old, you're going places you never wanted to go. And it's like, what do you, and it said, and this is strange poetic speech, but then it clearly says this, this he said concerning how his death would glorify him. So what is Jesus saying? I've seen your death day, bro. And it's glorious. It's beautiful to me. I'm there. And so Jesus had been into his future and stepped out of his future, came back into his past and comforted him concerning how his death would glorify him. Okay, so I can ask Jesus right now into any event, into my future. Lord God, on my 60th birthday, can I have a crazy cool encounter with you? And can I find you in a way like I never, ever, ever have before? Okay, so if I can do that, I can also do this. My kids reach a certain age, it triggers something within me, or my grandkids reach a certain age, it triggers a memory and or something, and I go, whoa, that's really, really, really bad. Here's the deal. I can invite Jesus to be with me in that moment back then. And though he was not manifest before, he can literally be made manifest now in my past, and it changes my presence. Totally changes it. That's what I'm saying.
Gosh, there's so many things I want to go off of this, because this is, to me, this is deep upon deep. And I love things that challenges my way of thinking, but it, you know, at the same time, I'm trying to be conscious of everything and time and so on and so forth. So I do want to ask this one question here, because you bring up the guilt, the shame that people often deal with. You know, a lot of times, coming from the deep South where I was from, my brief memories of being in church as a child, I used to hear people get up and say, you know, I'm just a worthless sinner saved by grace, and I'm just a nobody. And unfortunately, I hear a lot of people that identity of being worthless because of guilt, shame, whatever the case may be, the things that they used to do or continue doing that process. I'm sharing that because in chapter 11 of your book, you have a section called the exchange of redemption. And you say this here, redemption also declares that we are worthy of the gifts, the rewards, the benefits of being holy. Why is it so important for believers, followers of Christ, to understand that you're worthy of the things that come out of redeeming our time?
Because, wow. See, there's this huge void in most of the body of Jesus that we just don't believe that redemption changes everything. It changes our trajectory, it changes our past, it changes our identity. And most people, their only hope for any relationship with God is being a servant for the Lord and having some little cabin on the outskirts of heaven. And that sounds holy, and it's not. Because see, he doesn't want you to just be a servant. He's got angels for that, that do a far, far better job than you and I are ever going to be able to do. He's called you to be his friend, and then the upgrade from being a friend is to be a son, to be his child.
Right.
And it's great to be his friend because you actually get to talk with him and you get to know him. And I love being the friend of Jesus. But it's actually a whole lot better to be his son because friends do not receive the inheritance. And a big part of the inheritance, brother, is to walk in the freedom and to walk in the joy that the Lord has for you today. A big part of that inheritance. And if you don't truly experience redemption, the exchange of redemption, if you don't do that, what's real is you're just like, I'm very appreciative to God because I am wretched and I'm horrible and I'm horrible and I'm horrible. Well, here's what's real. You don't see anybody saying that is around Jesus for very long. What happens is people who hang out with Jesus they begin to fight over which one of us is the greatest. That's what they do. They end up fighting and they end up not fighting over who is the most wretched, but they end up fighting over which one of us is the greatest. And that's what it is that they're doing. And why is that? Because there's something about the exchange of redemption that moves you from into this you never knew until you know King Jesus. Because anytime that the Lord comes to us and says, hey, this is who you are. You know, Mary, you're so blessed. Or Gideon, you're such a mighty warrior or whatever. And we always think, rut-row, he's got the wrong address. And it's not that, you know, he's mistaking us. It's that we are mistaking us for somebody less. And that identity only happens within King Jesus through the exchange of redemption.
is this a hang up because people often get enamored with the identity of their testimony rather than the identity of who they are as a son of God?
Yeah, well, that's because they think that their testimony is what they did before they were saved. And that's not your testimony. That's your history. Your testimony is who Jesus is to you. And again, that's another cultural thing within the body of Jesus that is not compatible with heaven. There's lots of things. There's lots. Listen, I'm a church guy. I pastor a mega church. I'm a church boy. Now that I've said that, a lot of the American church and the culture of the American church is completely incompatible with how heaven invades earth. And like, well, my testimony is I did drugs or cheated on my wife or I was some sexual maniac or I was in the pharmaceutical business or I did this or I beat somebody up. So what? So what? That's your history. It's not your testimony. Your testimony is how Jesus shows up to you. Your testimony is who Jesus is to you. And then are you ready for this? Once you tap into the testimony of King Jesus, you tap into the spirit of prophecy. And let me tell you what the spirit of prophecy is. It's when God Almighty tells you who you are in the future and says, I know you, and you need to conform your life to the image of this plan and not that. Boom.
Yeah, I think that gives us so much strategy and understanding. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong in this. You know, before my mother some years ago was diagnosed with cancer, many years prior to that, she was having dreams of her being an older lady playing with grown grandchildren. So when the time came and she was diagnosed with cancer, those prophetic dreams is what we took to war for her life.
That's right. You got a word from the Lord. Boom.
That's the redemptive side of this. And and I love how you've put this together in that. So,
Do you know what she was doing when she was tapping into that spirit of prophecy? She was remembering her future. Like, how in the world can you remember your future? It's because Jesus is with you now and he's been in your future. And so you're just knowing Jesus who is in your future. And you can also know Jesus who will step into your past. Like, my son just walked in the room and, you know, I want to just tell you, I got rock star kids. I love my kids. And they're all grown up, with the exception of this one that's in here right now. No, you're still the man, brother. So anyway, man, I love my kids. And I love them so much. And they're such good adults. I love them as adults. And I want to tell you, I've been a good dad. I'm not going to say that I've been the greatest dad in the world, but I have been a good dad. But there are times sometimes I'll think about Ben and Ben growing up, that there's things that I could have done better. There's something I shouldn't have done that I did do, or something that I should have done that I did not do because I was immature and wasn't emotionally intelligent enough to handle that because I had all my kids at very early age. So I'm like, oh no, I wish I hadn't done that. Instead of me sitting around and going, well, I just am not worthy of a good relationship with my kids, I go, no, the Lord has made me worthy. I'm inviting King Jesus into my past, into that very moment. I'm going to ask King Jesus to be made manifest in that very moment and let his manifest presence make sure that whatever harsh thing that I did or whatever neglective thing that I did does not put chains on my son, but that Jesus is life unto them. Because if Jesus shows up and if he is made manifest, it changes everything. That's how that works.
That's so good. So here we are. We're 2021. We're recording this at the end of March. We've all that are listening and watching, we survived 2020. And ta-da! It was a frustrating year. And for a lot of people, realistically, a very devastating year. They lost loved ones. They dealt with job loss and many other things. So we're going into this year. What is it that you would say to the body of Christ, those that are serving the Lord, following Christ? 2021 still is having some challenges. What do you say to them in redeeming your timeline?
Okay. Listen, since your audience doesn't know me, I want to be very careful that I don't sound harsh or any of those things. But I want to just tell you, and I say this with all love, pull up your big boy pants because it ain't going to get any easier. And you're called for such a time as this. And I say this, get up. Quit pining for the old days that are behind us because those days are gone. And if you fight for those things, you will fight for what no longer matters. You don't want to do that. I want to tell you this. Do not be looking for the world to get easier. Do not, because the world is not going to get easier. As we get closer and closer and closer to the return of King Jesus, the world does not get easier and easier. So, and by the way, I'm not looking for easier. I'm looking for better. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm not looking for relief from the world. Like, please don't be so mean to me, and please give me more freedom, and please let it be okay with you that I go do this. I'm not asking any of those clowns for that. I am looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and say, there's a grace on me in this day that I didn't have before. And the Spirit of the Lord is with me, and I must be a hope fanatic. I must become a redemption fanatic. I must be a drop-dead, sold-out Jesus freak. Because I'm going to tell you, brother, you and I are generation one of this new wineskin. And we'd better map this out for other people behind us. Yeah, I would just say this. Don't be looking for, you know, don't be looking for a prophetic world that says things are just going to get so much easier. No, they're not. No, but things are going to get much more powerful. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And brother, you and all of your people, you're a bad motor scooter. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. You have identity in King Jesus. You can not only can you make it through this, and again, I'm not diminishing what anybody went through. I lost my daddy last year, and he and I were like this. We were best friends. I mourned. I had more than 30 friends throughout the whole planet Earth die last year. More than 30. Some of them I'd been friends with 30 some odd years with, but I'm involved with people all over the world that are in the filthiest places on the planet. And all of us are compromised. Our immune systems are compromised. We're not doing this because it's safe to do it. And we're not doing it because we have the approval of human beings to do it. We're doing it because Jesus Christ gave us a green light to do it. And I want to just tell you, there's a new audacity and a new bravery and a new courage that the Spirit of the Lord is pouring out for people. And I would say, go after that in Jesus' name.
I love that. I do want to come back to how we started, because we started with the what you're doing with the sex trafficking and rescuing young boys and girls and stuff. And I know you gave examples of individuals' walks and how Redeem the Timeline works, but I want to come back to the sex trafficking, because the trauma there in a lot of these cases are horrific. How is the redemptive side of their timeline so valuable to these individuals caught in sex trafficking?
Well, it starts off with anybody where there's some young girl who's been prostituted, or some child that's been prostituted, or whether it's just Troy Brewer living in Joshua, Texas in 1986. The first thing that we have to know is that God is with us. Yeah, that's that whole Emmanuel thing. And that's a tremendous revelation that the Lord is for you. He's not against you, that he loves you, and that he's actually with you right now. And that's a game changer. And then what happens is, as we begin to walk with the Lord, we begin to have a future and a hope, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens after that is we actually can go from 30-fold to 60-fold into 100-fold. But not only can I see the Lord in my now, and I can also have the hope to see him in my future, but now I'm starting to see him in my past in ways I never saw him in my past before. I had no idea he was with me then. And then in even places where we cannot see that he was with us, we can invite the Lord to be with us in our past. And what changes is the dominance and the preeminence from the trauma we went through, from the dominance and the preeminence of the manifest presence of Jesus in that place. How can you not be happy in something that Jesus was in? Yeah, it's a huge changer, and it absolutely transforms lives. Thank you, my brother.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. All right. Final question on my end right here. But your bio says something that I've got to have you articulate on here. It says that you have a passion for reaching Christians for Jesus. I think when people read that, they're like, well, wait a minute. What? What does that mean, reaching Christians for Jesus?
There's a lot of Christianity that is just that doesn't know Jesus. A lot of Christianity. And you know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is people that have a religious form and actually sign up for the idea of Jesus. And like, no, he's good. And yeah, Jesus is cool. You know, Jesus is just all right for me. Yeah, right? Doobie Brothers. Okay, that's cool. But what's real is I like Harrison Ford. I love Harrison Ford. I'm cousins with Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in all the Star Wars movies. That's one of my, I have a Wookiee that's a cousin. And it's my son is in here right now. It's like one of our most favorite things is that we have a Wookiee in our family. Okay, so I like the whole Star Wars franchise. Like all that. Love Harrison Ford. Awesome. I believe in him. I've seen his works. I approve of his stuff, but I ain't married to him. I've never met him. He is not the love of my life. So just exactly like that, I think that a lot of people have walked in a Christianity and just thought that God was confined to that, have even come to a lot of conclusions that God is mean or that God is far off and he's not involved or any of those things because that's how the church is or that's how their expression of worship is or really the confines of how they've learned to know God. But here's what's real is Jesus is so much bigger than all those things. There is no other way other than Jesus, and there is no need for any other way. He's it. And he is one altogether beautiful, and he's incredible. And I love it. I love seeing when the light comes on, when people go, I didn't know Jesus was like that. Yeah, he's like that, and he's even way worse than that. That's what I'm talking about.
I love it. I just wanted you to expound on it for other people to know on that, you know. But unfortunately, I feel like I've lost a star with you. I've never seen a Star Wars film ever.
Oh, you're not missing nothing. It's okay, man. No, it's okay.
Never seen one. I do love all the Indiana Jones movies, though. So okay, that gives me a little bit of validation. Well, but
listen, I can't. Moving forward, I can't do any more interviews with you until you see some of those. And it's okay. I have minions that work for me, and they'll be happy to do that. But I'm not going to converse with you if you're not.
Yeah,
whatever, yeah. Man. You're not missing anything. I just love it because again, I have a cousin that actually is a Chewbacca. You know, he's a Wookiee, and he just recently passed away. And so his brother's name is Peter Mayhew. So it's just something familiar with everybody. And so, yeah, there you go.
That is awesome. I mean, it is a world phenomenon. I just never caught on to it. So, but nevertheless, I digress.
You go, Billy. Do you guys even have televisions in East Tennessee? Do y'all have TV? Do y'all have? Yeah. You know, there's, you're like, we do. We got like tinfoil on these rabbit ears.
Listen,
if you don't think I'm hillbilly, you don't know me. It's okay. We're the same tribe, I promise.
Yes, I know them all. Being truly Southern, I know all of them. So, you know, that's just the process of life. But nevertheless, I want to give you the opportunity to have the final thought, final word, something that you want to share. Maybe I didn't get to ask, something that's on your heart. I want to give you that opportunity, share anything you like. If you don't have anything, hey, you don't have anything. But if you do, this is your time.
Oh, I just want to number one, I want to say thanks, man, for having me on. And thank you for being faithful to do this. You know, it's one thing to do it. It's another thing to do it all the time. And then it's another thing to do it all the time, every day with excellence. That's the difference between 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Man, I want to encourage you to keep on doing that. Man, we need you to keep doing this, man.
Thank you.
And also, I want to just tell you this. So when it comes to all of your, you know, all of your bunch that's watching this, and just tell you this, whatever you think that God is limited to, he's not. And if there's any place in your life that you're not hopeful in, you're under the influence of a lie. Hopelessness comes from the influence of a lie. And I find myself all the time in a place where I go, why am I letting myself be hopeless in that? That's ridiculous. I must be talking to a snake. I ain't talking to snakes anymore. I ain't Harry Potter. I'm Troy Brewer. And I'm a drop dead, sold out Jesus freak. And so are you. And I just want to just encourage you guys and just tell you this, check your hope. You know, if you have like a Holy Ghost dashboard, right? Mm-hmm. You should have a thankfulness, right? You should have a courage. You should also have a hope meter, and check your hope meters. And if you haven't been hopeful because of all the news you're hearing, turn off the news. Get your head out of the lap of Delilah and quit listening to all the rhetoric and the narrative of the world, because it isn't what Jesus is saying. There's a clear and definitive word, friends, that is coming from God. And he's actually telling us, he's giving us marching orders right now. And he's like, I double dog dare you to be the people I've called you to be. And you watch what I will do for you. So I bless you guys in that. And I hope that makes sense.
I genuinely appreciate you taking time to be a part of this. It means a lot to me and those that are listening as well. Thank you so, so much, Troy.
Let's do this again, man.
Absolutely. I love it. And for those that are listening and you've been watching as well, I genuinely hope and pray that this has encouraged you. It has equipped you and has helped advance the kingdom of God. And I want to make sure that everyone listening, how do we find out more about Troy Brewer? What's the web address?
If you watch America's Most Wanted, I'm frequently in. That's not true.
That's my joke.
Is it really? See, I told you we were kin. I told you, man. So, like, you can just go to troybrewer.com. You can go to troybrewer.com. You can find out all about me. And also, too, we have a 24-hour prayer thing here. I've got a whole room full of ladies. And they have if you need a prayer or if you need a friend, you can call us. And the number is listed at troybrewer.com. Or, yeah, you can find it there. It's 24/7.
And your book, Redeeming Your Timeline, it is available on Amazon. And I imagine every bookstore, imaginable, Barnes & Noble, Books, stuff. And
you're sweeping the country like a brand new brew, dude. You got to see it. It's doing really good. So you guys keep on praying for the success of that. Thank you.
Everyone else, again, we hope you've been encouraged, challenged, and equipped to further advance the kingdom. Until next time, we love you and be blessed in the name of Jesus.